Biden has announced he will stand down from the race. I'm going to read the statement here. It has been the greatest honor of my life to serve as your president. And while it has been my intention to seek re-election, I believe it is the best interest of my party and the country for me to stand down and to focus solely on fulfilling my duties as president for the remainder of my term. I will speak to the nation later this week in more detail about my decision. For now, let me express my deepest gratitude to all those who have worked so hard to see me reelected. I want to thank Vice President Kamala Harris for being an extraordinary partner in all this work, and let me express my heartfelt appreciation to the American people for the faith and trust you have placed in me. Obviously, this is a significant breaking news development with the president announcing he is stepping back.
Dan and Bam with you with breaking Power Report coverage. Joe Biden has officially announced that he's not going to accept the nomination at the Democratic National Convention for president. That creates a little bit of a plot twist. We've gone from only the almighty could tell me that I could resign or stop seeking the nomination to maybe if my advisors say if it's impossible for me to win, to my delegates are free to do what they want, to continuing off of former Joe Biden White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki's reading of the statement here. We have my fellow Americans in this post from Joe Biden on social media. I've decided not to accept the nomination to focus all of my energies and duties as president for the remainder of my term. My very first decision as the party nominee in 2020 was to pick Kamala Harris as my vice president. And it's been the best decision I've made. Today, I want to offer my full support and endorsement for Kamala to be the nominee of our party this year. Democrats, it's time to come together and beat Trump. Let's do this. Bam. This is a fascinating development. What are your just initial thoughts and reactions to this pick, to this, you know, ascendancy of Kamala Harris? How are you feeling?
Hopefully the Supreme Court doesn't Al Gore her, but I was kind of expecting him to drop out soon. You had more people coming out saying he should drop out, and I feel like it was kind of like he wasn't looking too bad in these past, I think it was in Detroit, campaign stop, and I don't know if there was one after that. No, I guess he got COVID. But he didn't look bad in Detroit, but it was just like, it's a lot of pressure just waiting on him to have another kind of like bad senior moment on, you know, national television. Maybe God actually told him. Maybe God spoke to him in the burning bush and said, hey, you got to step down. Him endorsing Kamala's...
The whizzing bullet.
I think him endorsing Kamala is the right thing to do. That's your vice president. If you end up dying in a few months, she will be the president. So, I don't know. I guess I'm not too shocked because, I feel like on the last Power Report when we talked about it, it was kind of seeming like it was going to happen soonish.
This has been an interesting month because this conversation happened in fits and starts as early as, you know, during this election cycle, at least, as early as right before Joe Biden's State of the Union address. And then there's this conversation.
As early as 2020.
I mean, this conversation has been happening with Joe Biden since, like, at least 2016, frankly. But, as Recline had that article we talked about, there was all these concerns. He gives the State of the Union speech. He seems to land that pretty well, even though that was apparently past his bedtime, literally. And, you know, all the whispers kind of go away. Then he has this debate performance, and we've been in this sort of like whiplash situation where usually on Power Report, I'm really proud of our record and our ability to predict things. But I think everyone's just kind of been taken for a loop and for whiplash because this is just complete uncharted pulling the red lever in case of emergency sort of territory. So yeah, I also felt this sort of feeling of inevitability. Going back to our conversations that we had, I think a lot of our concerns were, do you really think that America is ready to elect a Black woman as president, considering how sexist this country is, This is a country where we're having conversations about taking away reproductive rights, never mind gender-affirming care. You have how racist this country is. I don't even need to explain that shit. Just like go to any Republican crime blog and you'll and read the comment section and you'll be good. How do we feel revisiting that conversation? Like, do we think that, you know, a lot of people have had out this conversation, there's been a little bit of a backlash now. I mean, there's a conversation of a backlash that like Republicans are going to hit the gas inevitably on the blackness and the womanness of this race, and that's going to be to their detriment. How you feel about that theory now? Because we both kind of came out of that conversation thinking that it's not going to be like likely that America will do that.
Yeah, and I think like I want to say it was like 2 weeks ago we talked about it, like more so if she runs in 2028. Like I feel like in this situation she has a better chance than if it was just like her running just in a, you know, a regular ass election. I think she has a great chance. Like I think she's, you know, it's funny because, you know, Biden is getting blamed for Gaza. Like he is actually the one pressing the button on Israeli missiles. And, you know,
he's not pressing the button. He's just sending the missiles.
Yeah. But he's getting blamed. I literally have seen on Twitter, Biden's genocide, like Benjamin Netanyahu does not exist. So the funny thing is that she's not going to get any of the blame for this, like at all. Like the whole like Palestine thing is like not going to be on her. Like that stain is not.
She's released some statements that have been like, I don't remember them verbatim, so I'm not going to repeat them, but she's released some statements that make it seem like she would tap the brakes or would have tapped the brakes a long time ago on this. So there's room for improvement. I mean, like, obviously, there's massive room for improvement for whatever's happening with Joe Biden right now, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think she doesn't have that stain on her. Obviously, she doesn't have like the age stain on her. And yeah, in this moment where obviously, like, a lot of us are just hoping Donald Trump doesn't win, you know, whatever was like the perceived, lack of excitement for Joe Biden, I think she's in a good position to, you know, go around the country and whip up excitement. And, you know, obviously she's not going to have the same blunders, but she's not so, like she could have some blunders though. But either way, you know, we're getting fairly close to the election, so only like 4 months away or less than that. And yeah, I think she has a great chance.
Yeah, I have this joke we do on Power Report all the time. I'm going to drop it here. In defense of Kamala Harris. God damn it. This, you either die a hero or become the villain. This show. this business will do it to you. So I'm going to argue some logical reasons for Kamala Harris in addition to kind of how I already framed the question, how the Republicans could, you know, get overexcited with how much racism and sexism they could do additionally in this campaign, that it could actually work to their detriment. There's some rules-based reasons. The Democrats have been fundraising under the Biden-Harris ticket. So you have some questionable, you know, possible allegations legally of fraud if you all of a sudden make it the, you know, Newsom-Whitmer ticket, right? Like, if you all of a sudden change up the ticket and then move the money to those people, you're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Like that's the rope-a-dope. That's the okey-doke. Like, you can't do that. So legally, it is easier for Harris to be made the nominee. And I'm quoting Joe Biden. The delegates are free to do whatever they want. I think that was in one of the interviews post debate. It had to have been. And he said the delegates are free to do whatever they want. He is saying, I'm giving my endorsement for Kamala Harris now that I've dropped out. So very clearly, those are the conversations that were orchestrated over the weekend during the Republican National Convention, while he has had and has COVID, mind you. What a fucking mess, dude. But like, you know, this is him pulling the chute, if you will, when it comes to his legacy. And I think, you know, whatever happens through this election, he's definitely saved his legacy. But when it comes to the why Kamala makes sense, A, the money reason. B, at this point, having been the vice president for 3+ years, she is literally the most qualified to be president, if you're not talking about a former president. Right. So, you know, within the Democratic Party, that is a lot of experience. Now, she won in 2016. She defeated Loretta Sanchez because it was an open seat. And so she was a junior senator for 4 years before rising to the executive branch. Sound familiar? And you know, there's obviously some Obama interludes there. And I also remember, because I have that famous photo, I'll edit in here for context, where I was awkward. We were both awkwardly standing next to each other during her 2016 campaign in the Democratic convention in California. I think her connections within the Democratic Party are good. Her ability to bring out Black voters, Black women voters, and energize that base that honestly was not that energized by Joe Biden. It was very reluctant energy, not just from Black women or Black people, but I think from everyone. I think Kamala Harris will energize a part of the Democratic Party base who wants to see that change in representation. Again, especially at a time where racism is very apparent in this country. So apparent that even liberal white racists themselves are starting to blush. And with Roe v. Wade facing overturn, you have the Supreme Court with all these different issues. You have people who, you have the same type of people who would be generally scared are the same type of people who are going to respect this decision. I think when she's campaigning, she's going to be, she has the meme, especially among people who like her, the coconut pilled, if you will, for being kind of like your zanned out auntie, right? Like, she, and you know, that's how her vice president, I would describe her vice presidency as Joe Biden putting her on like the worst side missions possible. Like, Donald Trump gets elected, he looks at Mike Pence and it's like, okay, there's that's your room, buddy. Just like stay in there. You've done your job. Just like stay there. You give some speeches, you know, make your paper, whatever, but just like stay in there. Big boys talking. All right. You stay at the kids' table. Joe Biden called himself like, oh no, I'm gonna have her go to take pictures by the border.
Brownsville, Texas.
The do not come meme was like, you know, the Biden's, you know, it was reflective of Biden administration's rightward shift on immigration, which I don't think Kamala Harris is going to be that much better on anyways. And those are some of the realities that if you look at past this, you know, there are people who have been ironically, unironically chanting for the whole Mamala thing for a while. And I knew that was inevitable, but I just couldn't bring myself to really, and there've been people on the show who have come on and done that. And like, I'm fine with that because it's usually in jest, but like, I can't really bring myself to support or love the idea of Kamala Harris being president. Like, I talked about this in the very first episode of Power Report, named as Power Report when we changed the name, when I interviewed Kimberly Nicole Foster, and we were talking about the, you know, joy that I could possibly feel on November 9th if Kamala Harris is elected president, to be like, wow, a Black woman's president, like that's something, that's huge. But also realizing that her record is, you know, to say the least, not something that someone on the left or someone who's even a progressive would enjoy or appreciate. And it's not going to be like some, you know, Bernie Sanders-esque shift from the status quo of, you know, the Democratic Party and how that works. But to kind of end my point up here with, like, you know, can she win, and kind of kick it over to you, if you because you kind of mentioned if she can win. But I think overall, she has the ability to at least keep the ship moving, because one argument that I mean, like, you know, one set of conversations we've had over the past month, bam, and, you know, with other guests, it's just like, what does another 4 more years of Trump look like? And are we willing to risk that during this election for whatever reason? And, like, there are people of the opinion who are like, no, you don't risk that. There are people of the opinion that are just like, the Democrats have done this to themselves, let the chips fall where they may. There are people of the opinion, and this is me, kind of in the middle, like, well, both. Yeah, the Democratic Party did this to themselves. When they say that it was a Democratic, you know, process, that's a lie. They did everything they could, as they did, you know, now in this election, and as they did in the 2020 election, to put their thumb on the scales to pick the candidate that they want. In fact, they did a double tap in the 2024 election, so that's funny. But I think that, as Bam, you were emphasizing throughout all these conversations, this is a time where it's crucial to make sure Republicans don't get power, don't get any more power than they already have, because they've built in institutional power. I'm not even just talking about the Supreme Court. I'm not even talking about their plans with Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation, because we were talking about the essence of that stuff long before all of that. We've been covering this stuff for years, right? But the essence of that stuff and what Trump is bringing, we're still dealing with the remnants of that during the Biden administration, and we will be dealing with that for years. 4 more years of Trump plus, let's say optimistically he does leave peacefully, but you get another Republican administration, or you get a Democratic administration who can only win in that sort of environment by tacking to the right like Biden did, like Obama has, or like Obama did. So, you know, I think it's better for an Democrat to win, and if that's going to be Kamala Harris, then so be it. I'm not like that excited about it, but, you know, I'm definitely N plus 0.01 more excited than I am about, than I was about, like, Joe Biden being it. And, you know, who knows? She could surprise us. She really could.
Okay. Not down with the she could surprise us. Was that optimism?
Oh, no. Yeah. Like, listen, I don't think she would tack to the right of Joe Biden on many issues if she were able to be president. I think there might be some random things here or there. Like, I'm not sure exactly where she stands on trade or, like, unions or things like that. I also don't think she's going to fire Lina Khan. So, like, that's the thing, is that I don't see Kamala Harris in many of the major things. And, you know, especially right now, I'm thinking about Gaza. I'm thinking about general foreign policy. I'm thinking about internal investment in the economy and cost of living. I don't think she would be any further to the right on those things than Joe Biden currently is.
Right.
I don't know if she'd be further to the left, but I know she's not going to go further to the right. So I feel confident in that. It's not like this is a horrible pick. It's not like she's a horrible, like, you know, vice president in that sense, right? Vice presidents also kind of don't do shit except break ties in the Senate. And if she'd actually push hard on that parliamentarian, then I'd feel a little bit more about her. Because technically, she's on the record for blocking a federal minimum wage hike, if you go back to that parliamentarian argument. But I think there's a generational difference. You know,
right.
Joe Biden's from Delaware. That's one set of businesses. Kamala Harris is from California. That's another newer set of businesses. I think you could see, you know, positive things in that scale as far as, like, regulation of big tech. I think you can see positive things on the scale of, like, you know, she came from Oakland, like, working in Oakland in politics, right? Like, I'm not saying she's going to be a Black Panther, but I'm saying you're just in an environment of radical politics, and that's going to leave you as a politician, even as a presidency, when you're balancing so many different things, it's going to leave you open to bigger ideas, I think. So I genuinely think Kamala Harris as a president could surprise us. We may just have more jails, though. That's just the only thing. Like, we've got more prisons, but, like, you know, we'll have health care, maybe. You know, she might fight for health care. There's just going to be, you know, health care in the jails.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, better health care in prison, though. One annoying thing that for sure is going to happen, like, this is going to definitely annoyingly activate Jay-Z and Beyonce and Chance the Rapper and all these freaking, oh, it's about to be so annoying I mean, although I do think
Will.i.am's gonna dust off the MIDI keyboard.
Like this is gonna be so annoying, but I don't really ever have expectations for like high up politicians in America. But I'll say this, even this is like you say you have like she could surprise us, and that's your optimism. I'll say this in defense of Kamala Harris. What she did as what got her the Cop Mala moniker, I do think that part of that is like some of those things have just changed now. Like the progressive politics in this country are a bit more popular than they were at that time. Like things are changing naturally in a sense. And obviously they're changing on the right too. Like they're getting more aggressive over there. And like the progressive left is getting like a little bit more aggressive on our side too. So some of the things that might've gotten her a negative reputation now to her might seem like outdated, and she might not go down that same path. When it comes to foreign policy, it's tough because America has changed a lot when it comes to foreign policy. I think also in a natural sense, like America is just not as powerful and doesn't have the same influence that it did once upon a time. I don't think she's going to be able to like, quote unquote, repair whatever's going on with Russia, but I do wonder what her outlook is going to be when it comes to China. Like, what is her relationship when it comes to Xi Jinping and stuff? I don't know. And then when you talk about like the Middle East and Africa and stuff like that, like America has been a bit more hands off than it has been in the past. So, you know, is she going to turn into a neocon? Like, I really hope not. But I do think that's possible. But then when it comes to domestic stuff, I feel like she is just like, I almost don't want to say like she's more progressive, but like things are more progressive. Like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I want to push you slightly a little bit on that. I think generally, sure. Like, you know, Joe Biden has been a more progressive president domestically than Barack Obama.
And then he was in the past too. Like the times were different.
I agree. Yeah. So you lead based off the coalition you have, and you know, if anything, that is what the Bernie Sanders presidencies, both them getting as close as they did. That's the lasting impact they've had on the Democratic Party. Would have been better with Bernie though. I saw a Bernie 2016 sticker on a car, and I almost like started sobbing in the parking lot. Like it was really
masturbated.
Whoa, you don't, like that one guy, never mind, we're not gonna go there. But there, I think specifically you have a situation right now where I think Kamala can campaign on this really well. She can say, yes, there are people who are concerned about crime, and there are people who feel less safe than they want to. And I'm someone who is a really tough on crime sort of prosecutor, and I can address that while also like doubling back and saying, okay, well, like if you look at the numbers, crime is going down by pretty much every metric in every single like, you know, area. And like where it is going up, those are kind of issues of larger systemic things. Like people are blaming a lot of the crime on the unhoused. And that's an issue of being unhoused, right? People are blaming a lot of crime on hooliganism, and that's the issue of like, well, I mean, I'm not going to go on a Bill Cosby rant here, right? But you got to pull up your pit. No. So like, what I can say on that is that there are people who are complaining that, oh, kids are acting up and messing up. We have this issue in Southern California now with like the kids of color are doing street takeovers with their cars, and the white kids are doing street takeovers with their road bikes. And so like, it's just like, but you also, I think if you had parents who weren't like working constantly in all these other different places, they'd be a little bit more present in their kids, like, you know, communities. Right. Also, if the fathers were, no, okay. but I think Kamala is uniquely equipped to campaign like that. I really think the jury's out on what she would do as president. So, like, I think immigration would be, like, net neutral. You, Joe Biden, I think, has beaten Trump's numbers for deportations. And then, like, Obama was deporting a lot more people than Bush even, too. So, like, I think you can see that trend overall continue to rise as a factor of more people are trying to immigrate in the country. But, yeah, like, other domestic things, you know, maybe even some foreign policy things. I think there's something different most of the time when you have, and you're starting to have, like, a coalition of women world leaders who I think are taking a more, like, internationalist, pragmatic, you know, vision of the global international order in a way that their male predecessors were a little bit more hungry for war and being, like, war hawks about it. So I think, like I said, she has the ability to surprise us. I think the next, it's going to be over before the convention because there's going to be, like, a announcement. There's going to be, like, a nomination process. The Ohio thing is not an issue anymore. It used to be that, like, Ohio had a nomination deadline. The Republicans in Ohio actually moved the deadline up. So let those conspiracy theories be where they may. I think that Kamala Harris has a better shot than Biden. I don't know if she can beat Trump. I know that I am moist for the debates.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, the debates, like, we'll see if they even debate. Like, I
wonder. No. First of all, like, Trump's going to be chomping at the bit for debate number two. I don't think he was, if Joe Biden was still in the race, I don't think there would be a second debate. There would be no incentive for Donald Trump to do it. And I think this, you know, V2, especially now with the ear patch. See what I did there? I think this version of Trump's a little bit more measured. And he would go, yeah, I would, you know, debate Joe Biden if it's, you know, out of the blue so I could catch him and surprise him and make my point. That's why he was talking shit, like, on the golf course or whatever. Mm. But he would be dumb to actually accept going to that second debate, where, you know, all he has to do is, like, ride out this month and continue giving campaign events and riling up his base and flaunting that little ear patch. And, like, Trump is good for the rest of the election. I'm not saying that's going to win him the election, but, right, like, he's going to have his base locked in, and Joe Biden can do nothing but go down and lose middle-of-the-road voters. It would be dumb of Trump to do that debate if Joe Biden was still in the race. Kamala Harris? I think it's dumb if Donald Trump goes out, because Kamala Harris is favored to win that debate, I think, by most people and internally by Republicans.
Oh, yeah.
So, because now the conversation is, well, look at Donald Trump sundowning. look at Donald Trump rambling on. Look at this old ass man. And, you know, like, you know, he had a little accident at the gun range. We feel a little bit bad for him. But it's also why we don't let him drive anymore, because we just don't trust his decision making.
Yeah, because last time he was in a car, he tried to grab the steering wheel from the Secret Service agent.
I forgot about that.
But, yeah, and, Donald Trump right now is 78 and Kamala Harris is 59 from what I just saw, I think. 59 or, and I think she's turning 60 this year. Later this year. But the age difference is, like, fairly significant. And she's good in front of those mics. She's good freestyling, you know.
The best time C-SPAN was for watching was when she was on the Judicial Committee doing those hearings and asking questions. It was pornographic. It was great.
It was so good. Like, you forgot about Cop Mala. Like, you started to
feel... No. You remembered Cop Mala, and you're like, oh, thank God, like, she's not in the room with me asking the questions.
Because, like, you feel like a, like, menace to society when the cop is, like, you're getting interrogated. Like, you know you done fucked up, right? yeah, she was going hard. I remember in 2020, like, sadly, I remember this, but, like, Charlamagne from The Breakfast Club was, like, big Kamala Harris. Like, and since then, he's kind of, like, been, like, he goes on Fox News now. Like, I've never seen him on there, but I've heard about, like, him going on Fox News and you know, I wonder if he's going to turn back into being like big Democrat, like riding with Kamala Harris again. I don't know. But I think so. She like,
I also, think so too.
Yeah. She's got like the black bougie thing going on. She went to, like, she went to Howard, but mm-hmm. she's like a little bougie, you know, like, but she's still got some blackness about her.
She went to UC Law. That's like, I respect people who go to public colleges and also, like, you know, historically black universities, universities that, you know, have catered to different groups for different things. I respect that a little bit. I'm fine if you went to a Ivy League school, but I respect it a little bit more personally from my type of politics if you went to a public university or something like that. So
yeah, she did her thing. I wonder if it helps her that she is married to a white man. I wonder if that helps her.
Doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. Yeah, she's married to a white guy. She kind of, you know, she clicks a lot. She ticks a lot of boxes. And yeah, like going, oh, then we have to talk about her VP pick.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to close out on, because what the boxes she doesn't tick for an American head of state are definitely going to need to be more important than ever. A vice presidential pick is really a play for an election. Like, people are wondering, oh, why did Trump get J.D. Vance? Especially because Trump already does so well in the Rust Belt areas that J.D. Vance likes to cosplay when he's not living his rich ass life. But that's because of the thing I just said. Donald Trump picked J.D. Vance because of his rich ass life, his connections, his ingrainment into big tech. And these are also the same people I'm going to be talking with Taylor Lorenz in a future PowerPoint episode and a couple of others about, these big tech fascists. You got some people who are like starting a city out in Northern California because they're in big tech and they want to make their own laws for themselves around labor and all that stuff, which is literal hell world. And this is what J.D. Vance is plugged into. So, like, even I personally find that more as threatening as Project 2025, maybe a little bit more like, you know, Google Project 2025 has become a meme within itself, but, you know, whatever. But going back to Kamala Harris is a politician from the coast. She will have that coastal elite on her, even though I don't really see her as a coastal elite until she won that Senate seat. Right? Like, she was just, you know, a California politician in Gavin Newsom's waters, right? But, like, but, you know, I think she has some talent as a politician. She doesn't have the ability for a white male in the Midwest to say, I want to go have a beer with him, that you need to have be an American head of state, unfortunately, in this country. Right. That's why, you know, some people who just like know nothing about politics are like, okay, Pete Buttigieg, now's your time to be vice president. If you're memeing, cool. Otherwise, you know nothing about politics, because I still stand by that. You can do Kamala Harris on a ticket. You can do Pete Buttigieg on a ticket, but you're going to need like a Tim Kaine to balance that ticket out. You can't do both at the same time.
No.
Some of the vice presidential picks for Kamala Harris include Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, who also has a lot of ties and connections to money in that state. There's North Carolina governor, not just in that state, but within like the Democratic Party fundraising machine. There's North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper. There's Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. See, that's that problem I was talking about earlier. Not a bad pick, but you just can't do that. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, and then California Governor Gavin Newsom. It's not going to be Gavin. It's not going to be Greasy Gavin. And I know that he is... I saw a tweet earlier that said, you feel that, California? No, not an earthquake. It's just Gavin Newsom's erection right now. because we all know his political aspirations and we know that he wants to be president. But I think he, unlike Ron DeSantis, is smart enough to know that, and especially because he was campaigning for Joe Biden. He was in the spin room for Joe Biden after the debate, and was one of the few politicians saying that, hey, listen, Joe Biden had a rough night, but let's focus on the actual comparison here. He's ride or die Joe. No, he's ride or die Democratic Party. So he's going to do whatever the hell they tell him to.
Right.
Until 2020, I give it 2026, he releases a book. And then 2027, he starts to, you know, put out the feelers, do some campaign, soft non-campaign campaign stops in the Midwest, in the North, and then starts to announce his campaign in 2027.
But is he going to do that if Kamala's looking for a second term?
See, that's the other thing, though, is that the Democrats are kind of, you know, Joe Biden is really going to look good if Kamala Harris wins, because he could possibly double jeopardy the Republicans into 12 years of Democratic rule. Can we imagine Dark Brandon's like final gambit? 12 years of Democrats. So yeah, that's the thing. But you know what? Gavin Newsom's got oil in the tank. If he gets to be as old as Joe Biden, he's gonna run for president.
Oh yeah. And
but yeah, I don't think it's gonna be Gavin I don't think it's gonna be Gavin Newsom. I also don't think it's gonna be Gretchen Whitmer, not because she's not a talented politician, although I don't know, I haven't been paying a lot of attention to what she's been doing in Michigan with her trifecta, all the Democrats control everything in the state. I do know she's been fighting off right-wing extremists, so that'll help her. I do know she's a Midwest white person who's a politician, so that'll help her. So that'll help Kamala. Gretchen Whitmer just has the same problem that I was mentioning with Pete Buttigieg earlier, that you can't have two women at the top of the ticket. And so it can't be Gavin Newsom. It can't be Gretchen Whitmer. I think the other two are fair game. I lean towards Josh Shapiro. There was a good case made for it on the last Power Report with Ravana and Jeff talking about it. So I think that makes sense, just like being connected to some of the money. He seems pretty competent.
Who is this again? I'm sorry, you said?
Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania. He's one political professor in Pennsylvania said that, I don't know if he's in Pennsylvania, but someone said that Shapiro's never lost an election and he's closer to the center of the Democratic Party. So I think that would be the most helpful. That's like a Rust Belt state. I think that would help him out a lot. Help her out a lot. But as we wind down here, what are your thoughts?
Like, I never heard of any of these people, Shapiro and Cooper. Like, I never heard of these people. But, you know, maybe that's just because I'm whack. But
I think it's like a regional thing. Like, these are just like, yeah. I much like we've had these conversations before, there are a lot of regular folks who live in states that are not California who are like, Gavin who? Gavin who-some?
Yeah.
Gavin threesome without Ron DeSantis?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, you know, any of these white males, that's good, I guess. You know, like, there's a part of me, like, there is a part of me that feels like you could get some Republican women to vote for the Harris Whitmer ticket. Like, they might just like, ooh, like, I really like that, I'm not gonna tell my husband. And like, but she's the most popular out of those. But it is tough. Like,
is Whitmer the most popular out of all of them?
Oh, absolutely. They were trying to kill her.
I mean, well, I don't know if that. Well,
you thought that was fake.
No. I don't know. I mean, that's one type of popularity, Bam. I'll just say that without having a larger argument.
I think she's the most popular out of all of them. Yeah, for sure. And other than Gavin Newsom.
Gavin, if we go, because we're talking a lot about governors here, so we can compare apples to apples here. Newsom, Whitmer, Andy Beshear, and Roy Cooper and Shaw Shapiro are all governors. This is a real apples to apples comparison, other than the dynamics of all these respective states. Gavin Newsom's not really popular in California. Like, you know, he's like kind of generally popular, but people like, not even just, you know, the conservatives who complain all the time about everything, but like, you get a lot of complaints about Gavin Newsom, and I think a lot of them are justified. Like, the same thing that took down Boris Johnson, Gavin Newsom also did.
But that's true. But you know what? People in California will feel a sense of pride when he's on that ticket, though.
They will also feel a sense of pride for any Democrat.
Well, no, so, but any complaints you have is about Gavin Newsom as a governor, which is, this is a huge state. Like, you know, what really is the governor doing? I don't know. But they're going to be like, oh, like, that's our guy on that ticket. Like, there's going to be a lot of like, ooh, like, that's our dude. Like, let's, you know, we're excited. I think it would be good for Gavin Newsom to hop on the ticket with her. I think it'd be good for him. If he's really like a Democratic Party cuck, like you say he is, go get in there and serve, you know, be like some, you know, vice president loser, you know, you get no attention, you know, go do that and then run for president after that. I think it would serve him well.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's the best choice out of those five. I think he's the best choice, and I think it'd be good for him too if he really wants to be elected. Who
you're saying would be the best choice?
Newsom. He's the best choice, and I think it's good for him politically. Like, you want to be president, you don't like. Remember, like when we had the whole thing about him and Beto O'Rourke, like, and then we ended up looking at their social media followings. Obviously, I was gonna say
12th Amendment. You can't have a president and a vice president be from the same state, apparently.
Okay, where wasn't he like born in China or something? Where was she born? Wasn't she born in the Philippines or something, or Jamaica? Were they both born in California? I don't know. Okay, if they can't serve together, then whatever. But then after that, I don't know. Like, these three dudes are just like, honestly, they're anonymous to me.
On the popularity question, I think I just don't know Gretchen Whitmer's popularity. I know the governor is fairly popular in Pennsylvania just because of, like, there was a bridge collapse and that was fixed really quickly. There have been other things that have gone on, and like, there's been other, like, you know, local governor shit that he's just like handled really well. So like,
do you govern Amish people? Like, what? Really, Pennsylvania, dude?
You have Philadelphia there. That's like one of the bigger cities on the Northeast.
You heard of Kensington? Look that shit up. It's just rough.
You heard of Pittsburgh? Look that shit up.
You feel me? I don't know. Like, I think these other, I've heard of Andy Beshear. Like, I've heard of him. But
it's gonna be a white dude from the Midwest. It's gonna be a white dude from the Midwest.
I mean, yeah. Honestly, like, at that point, like I was saying, at that point, they're all the same to me. But and if her and Gavin can't be on the ticket together, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of racist. But why? Who cares? But where is this fool born? Does it matter where you're born or like where you served? Okay, he was born in San Francisco. All right, whatever. Yeah, just pick one of these white dudes and go, you know, hold his hand on the stage, you know, whatever. You know, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Basically, it's one of those rules that's like on there, but may not be. I'll just mention one thing I'm reading from history.com. In the election of 2000, when Bush chose Cheney as his running mate, Cheney had been living and voting and paying taxes in Texas for 5 years. Shortly before the election, however, Cheney obtained a Wyoming driver's license and put his Dallas home on the market. He had a vacation home in Wyoming, which is the state he formerly represented in the U.S. Congress, which makes sense because he grew up in Wyoming. And that's why his daughter was representing there when she was early to fall on the knife against Donald Trump. But so, you know, it could come up if the election is close and they're trying to, you know, like pull whatever game they will. And the Republicans are already saying, oh, you can't change the ticket. That's too late. We're going to sue. The Republicans are going to sue over the election outcome anyways. They just have to find the reason, right? Now they have to make up new reasons because it's a new person, but they'll do it anyways. So that's all, folks. That's how it's going to be. It's going to be a very interesting month seeing how Kamala Harris blossoms into campaigning out of the cocoon. Let's see if we're raining coconuts by the time the convention comes around, or if, you know, things get kind of awkward. We're going to have a lot of content off of it because she's going to have to give a lot of interviews and things are going to happen. And politics is going to feel closer to normal than it has in a long time, I think.
Be ready to hear her defend Joe Biden on Gaza. Be ready to hear that. She's going to be, you know, let me watch what I say. She's going to be praising Joe Biden a lot. Let me watch what I say, like, because she is definitely not a man running. But yeah, she's gonna be praising him a lot. Get ready for that. Please don't take that so serious, people. Like, don't be like, oh God, I can't. Like, this is just how it goes. When Hosni Mubarak was out in Egypt, when they got rid of him, they protested in the streets for months to get rid of Hosni Mubarak. When they got him out of there, the freaking general dude got on there and praised him. That's a little Arab Spring history for you. She's gonna be praising Joe Biden. Don't take that as that means she's gonna do every single thing Joe Biden did if she's president.
I think the people online, feel free to express what you really feel, because politics and the expression of that you do, that politicians do especially, but also like pundits do, especially people with platforms start to do as those platforms grow. That's one thing. How you feel is another thing. And hopefully you can like separate and express those two. But I would just say that the Democratic Party base, and that includes ostensibly the left, right? Because that's just how the two-party system works right now. And right. Kamala Harris isn't going to fix it. And RFK is not going to save us from it. And I've given up on Cornel West. And Claudia De La Cruz is not going to save us from it. Like, if they had a chance to win, I'd be down. But like, none of these people have a chance to win. And RFK just has a chance to fuck things up. That is all to say that like, the left and the entire Democratic Party base would do well to understand that in the realm of real life, we don't play games where, oh, well, for this moment, we're going to lessen your identity or invisibilize your identity for some reason. No. But in politics, there are times where you campaign differently than you govern. And let's remember, campaigns really don't have a lot to do with actually being a president. Debates don't really have a lot to do with being a president. This is tradition. This is pomp and circumstance. This is the warped and morbid way of how we do president. You know what we should do? We should actually honestly just pick from governors. Because like, that's a close example of like, okay, you're running shit. Or like, if you're the governor of Rhode Island, we all get to look at you and like, okay, really, Rhode Island? You're trying to run the country and you're running around, get the fuck out of here. Okay, so like, we'll have those conversations, but at least we actually get to show you running something and having proof of, oh, you're a border state. You have some foreign policy interactions, right? Even if it's Canada, you have some foreign policy interactions, right? I don't know if Idaho be thugging it out with the Mounties. Like, let's talk that out, right? But I think that you get this situation that like we're in right now, where we're going to get to really meet Kamala Harris. That's going to be helpful for us. And it's fine if while she's campaigning, she says some things that we don't like, because what matters is what she does if she becomes president.
Right.
What matters is that tangible reality. And again, I think she could surprise us. I think she.
I'm remembering that. That's like a lot coming from you.
Yeah. I think she could surprise us. 4 years is a long time to surprise and disappoint us, but I don't think she can be any more disappointing than Joe Biden. And I think there's only further left to go, except for like immigration.
Okay, I have a question. Do you think, let's say Kamala wins 2024, do you think Trump runs again 2028? He will be 82 years old.
No.
Mm.
Lose once, shame on me. Lose twice, shame on you. And your loser ass, fake ear ass, goblin looking motherfucker. Yeah, no. I think Donald Trump's gonna want to. Donald Trump's gonna have a mean podcast. Like, Joe Rogan's gonna have some competition if Kamala Harris wins the presidency, because that's all the man's gonna have. If he tries to run again, it's gonna be like, okay, dude, we thought you had you won in 2016 because we thought you could beat Hillary, and you know what? You beat everyone else in the Republican ticket, and you did. Hillary was also easy to beat, just as Trump was easy to beat. So there's that. Then in 2020, we put you up against, sleepy Joe Biden, and you lost. Then in 2024, we put you up against Zanned Out Kamala Harris, and you lost. So you're 82, dude. You keep rambling. He's going to have 4 years of him saying crazy shit and embarrassing things, except the context of America is going to be under a Kamala Harris administration. So Trump is going to seem crazier. We will have rejected that as a country. And he's going to have more years of sundowning. So we're all going to get to look at that and go like, listen, like Joe Biden got there sooner, but Donald Trump is getting there, and he's going to really, really get there within those next 4 years, especially spiraling out of control, being a Kamala Harris birther. So
I think he's going to run again.
Interesting.
There's too much money to be made.
There's a lot of money to be made, but I think they're not going to part the Red Sea, as you will, that like the Republicans did in the 2024 thing. Like, going to have to come to the debates. If he doesn't, his competitors are going to capitalize off of that. It's going to be an open primary for the Republicans. If none of the candidates are going to agree on anything else but the fact that Donald Trump's a losing bitch, and that if he's not on the debate stage, at least defending himself to show that he's not, then we should just disregard and discredit him. The media is going to come after him. The Republicans are going to turn on him. The only Republicans that won't turn on him are the ones who are going to be making money from the endeavor. And through all the legal issues he's going to be inevitably going through, I think he's just going to like alienate those people who are like left at that point. So
you're 100% right in all of that, but there's still going to be a lot of people in the cult. There'll be less, but there's still going to be people. He's still the guy.
And I can settle on that. Donald Trump potentially running again in 2028 if he loses in 2024 for money. But I just also think that like the Republican Party is not going to give him the same red carpet treatment.
No, they won't.
And it's not just going to be like the Republican Party establishment. It's going to be the media and it's going to be the voters.
Yeah, so for like sure, there's going to be some voters.
It's not going to be like landslide primaries like it was in
2020. No.
Like, it's going to be so like, either. Yeah. Yeah,
but unless he completely goes down, he's going to still have the charisma that people like Ron DeSantis and, you know, whoever else is around for them just don't have. But
sleep on Tim Scott.
Right. But you know what? Like, maybe somebody like Joe Rogan ends up running on the Republican ticket.
No, that's the thing. Maybe, the Republicans are going to be like... They're going to be like, let's get our next celebrity. You're exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like, okay, the Democrats keep cooking us by going woke. They keep picking these woke presidential candidates. you know what they mean, right?
Yes.
And so they're going to go like, we need to excite our base by picking a celebrity. And you know what? Maybe it's going to be Elon Musk. Maybe it's going to be... Maybe it's going to be Joe Rogan, like you said. Maybe it's going to be Peter Thiel.
Chill, relax. It's not going to be Peter Thiel.
Maybe it's going to be Mark Cuban. I don't think it would be, but he could be like I'm the moderate Republican.
That's actually a good one. Yeah. Mark Cuban. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it could be a celebrity.
Yeah, I just threw Joe Rogan out there. I can't really see it because he just is kind of too slow. But and I don't think Elon Musk.
He's just too lazy to be president.
Yeah, he's too lazy. Elon Musk wasn't born here, right? He was born in South Africa. I don't think he can do it. But
didn't stop the calls when Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor.
Yeah,
like when Arnold Schwarzenegger was. To be clear, when Arnold Schwarzenegger was governor of California, people were Republicans were calling on a change to the Constitution to allow him to run for and become president.
Jesus, was he born in South Africa, Pretoria, or something?
Yes,
like that?
Yes, Pretoria. Thank God.
I just picked the whitest city down there. But yeah,
you're correct. Bullseye.
Yeah. What's the name? Mark Cuban? Yeah, we'll see. But that's getting way into the future. We'll probably all be dead, burnt alive by then. But I'm not excited about Kamala Harris. I'm basically excited if the people that we need to not get Trump in there are excited. If y'all are excited because Biden's gone, I'm excited for you. Let's not get Trump in there. But, you know, as far as like excitement about Kamala, like it's not that serious.
The left who hated Biden is going to be the same left who hated Kamala, right? I think it's going to be
Jimmy Dore. Oh God.
Well, he's not on the left, so fuck.
Well, no, I know. I'm just wondering, like, he's about to be going insane.
Well, that's like more content for us because you're going to get the racists within the Democratic Party too being a little bit mask off because the AOC was kind of, I don't want to get into a whole longer thing, but like AOC did a long Instagram live like Thursday evening talking about this process to push out Biden because you'll notice Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Ilhan Omar, AOC, a lot of the left were not jumping on this let's replace Joe Biden train. You know, right now their tweets and posts are coming out about how, you know, they support Kamala Harris and always have. But, you know, they've been playing it really safe to the party because they know that if anything goes wrong, they'll be the first scapegoats. But B, they're also playing the same sort of like semi-jaded game that me and a lot of other folks on the left are, which is like the Democrats, the donor class, were making all the decisions beforehand. They made the Hillary decision. They made the Biden decision. They got lucky in 2020. They clearly are not getting lucky in 2024. They're having buyer's remorse. We never had any power there to begin with. So I'm just going to read the script. I support insert name of Democratic nominee here. End of story.
And also they could have just been like, they could have been looking at it like he's going to drop out anyway. Like it doesn't matter what I say at this point, like he's going to drop out. So like, you know, yeah, sure. Yeah, I support
like, it doesn't matter what, it doesn't matter what I say. I don't want to make news.
Exactly.
Like, I don't want to be the story. Right. Like, like leave me alone. And in fact, like AOC, the news she's making is calling for Supreme Court justices to resign.
Right.
Like they're calling to impeach them essentially.
Right.
So like that's actually doing her job. And, you know, AOC is now working in the space where she's probably eyeing a Senate seat. All these other squad members are looking at their rest of their political careers. And you're in this space where they're not looking to, the election is nothing that they can control at this point, right? The squad has, and I don't mean this tongue in cheek, and I don't mean this to be like mean, but I just mean this to be real. If you think the squad has the ability to move the needle significantly as far as what the administration's doing on Gaza, and you haven't accepted the fact that like they don't have that ability, they literally have more of an ability to do that than they do the nomination process of the presidency. Like mathematically, they literally have more of an ability as congresspeople to move the needle on Gaza than they do as congresspeople to move the needle on who should be the Democratic nominee. And they know that. So they're like, of course, all these like hungry ass Politico reporters, and we've been talking about this, the media loves this and they're going to love this too, right? Because it's just, and you know what? We're gonna eat good too, all right? We are eating good right now. So it's gonna be good for everyone in the media, but they know and they're rolling their eyes and like, I'm not gonna make news. I'm not gonna give you news. Fuck off. I'm not gonna give you news. I'm gonna do my job. Fuck off. I'm not gonna give you news. Don't give your enemies content. And that's what they're doing. But the overall point I was making is that if you're on the left and you hated Biden, Kamala's not gonna make, you're not going to like Kamala anymore unless your identity politics value is more than your politics value. All right. So like, that's fine. And there's a lot of leftists like that. And I don't think you're less of a leftist than that. I just think your values are off. And I think a lot of leftist values are off. That's why we have this show. But I think this is a thing about moderates who didn't like Trump and didn't like Biden. And this is a thing about exciting a base of people who were less interested in voting. And for a lot of people, Kamala Harris is, I'm going to drink after this. Kamala Harris is inspiring to a number of people at the top of the ticket to be president. And so she has that going for her. We just have to see how that pulls out. How the Democrats are able to project their own form of unity in at the convention. There's still the possibility that at the convention, you know, Kamala Harris can just completely fail over the next 3 or 4 weeks. And at the convention, it becomes contested, becomes a mess. I think that's only good for Trump, especially in August. But I also don't think that will happen because they're going to pick sooner. They're going to pick before the convention. It's all going to be pomp and circumstance. So I think it's going to be all about how Kamala is able to communicate leadership, unity, and, you know, the ability to excite people that Hillary Clinton didn't have, that Barack Obama did, that Ronald Reagan did have and Mitt Romney didn't.
Right.
Like, whatever it is, like that X factor that as a campaigner, you're able to use that to jettison yourself into being honestly a better campaigner than president. I'm not asking for that hex on Kamala Harris. I'd rather her be a better president than campaigner, but I'd also need her to win.
Right.
So
100%. Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, that is that. Power Report is going to be covering all of that. I've been doing so much breaking news that, like, usually we do members content. Please become a member on YouTube, Twitch, or at syndicate23.co. But I've been doing so much of this breaking news stuff on the weekends. I haven't been doing that. But if you are a member, not only are you getting access to the vault, the episodes that can't be on YouTube anymore, the episodes that, same thing with Audioface, but you also get brand new content, including Bam's History of Islam, first episode being filmed in August, probably dropping in August or September. So check out that. People love it. It's there's a notebook. He's got a book. He's reading. He's researching. Someone's got to. But yeah, we can't do any of this without your support. Please support. We appreciate you. And we will talk to you inevitably very soon. The power is always with you. Take care. Peace.